talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
9013. So then what happens if the Texans take Will Anderson 1 and Isaiah Foskey goes 8th and end up being better? The entire planet says Will at 1. It's a tough call with pressure picking number 1. That's why you trade down. If you like a player more than you like whoever's at number 1, trade down. Haven't you watched Draft Day? You trade down, and then you trade back up. That's what you got to do if you're Nick Casario. 713-780-ESPN.
Was it a Costner classic?
Yellowstone.
It wasn't a bad movie.
It is what it was. I mean, it was pretty unrealistic. Once you go unrealistic to me, I'm out. Like, I it's a complete turnoff to me as a movie. If you get unrealistic, see you later.
I'm agree with you. I would
I'm
agree
out
with you
on that. I was looking at some of these mock drafts during the break. Brendan doesn't want us to talk mock drafts yet, but some of the names that are going to be on the board.
That is a lie.
Some of the names that are going to be on the board. I like it. Maybe more middle of the week. Lovie Smith, head coach of the Houston Texans. Everybody thinks that Lovie Smith's going to be back next year. A lot of reasons that don't involve football. I would agree that, like, they're probably going to bring him back and be pressured into bringing him back. But is it okay? Is it okay if you have one of the worst teams in the NFL? If you're picking at number one, the defense continues to look bad. Is it okay that you would be bringing back Lovie Smith for a second year?
It depends a lot on who you draft. And to me, the big thing is this goes back in full circle to the conversation we had to start the show. If you're taking a franchise quarterback and he's truly ready to play from day one, then it isn't okay completely to bring Lovie back. Because as I've said previously, you better at least have a new offensive coordinator that really can develop and work with this kid and make sure that the chances are better he pans out than he fizzles out. And then maybe in the best case scenario, that offensive coordinator is a coach in waiting so that in a year's time, when you at least have given Lovie 2 years and not another one and done situation, you have a guy that's ready to step right in, continue to the work he's already done with your quarterback, run the offense the way he set it up for your quarterback from the start of his existence with your team, and then everybody is comfortable. That's where it plays out to where you can move on from Lovie in another year's time. I just don't think there's any scenario that where they're going to make a move because they're so image conscious right now because they've made so many slip-ups that it made them the laughing stock of the league for a couple years. That I think that they're going to play this hyper safe, especially with the delicate situations that presented itself. But I think that ideally, in a year's time, when that franchise quarterback is ready to really grab the reins and go, you probably have a different regime in the coaching staff.
I think you can have two different conversations because I agree that the public pressure is going to be high and paramount of the Texans, and people are going to be watching that very closely. And if they were to move on from Lovie, specific coaches that would be on that, you know, candidate list for the Texans. But I think you can also have the conversation if the Texans are pressured into that sort of decision, is that okay? Is that okay for the Houston Texans to be willing to accept that? Because I would say that it's not. If you have a defensive coordinator who is your head coach that for back-to-back seasons has been one of the worst defenses in the NFL, that hasn't had a winning season since 2012, and to be quite honest, if the Texans didn't hire Lovie Smith after a Sunday supper when he was literally not on the candidate list for the Houston Texans, would he even be in football right now? Would Lovie Smith have a job?
It's a good question because, look, I think, and we've seen this even with McCown because he had a relationship with McCown.
If McCown was the head coach, I think Lovie's the
DC. He would definitely. I was going to say, if McCown had gotten the head coaching job, Lovie would have had a job no matter what. I think that they believed, based on last year alone and the fact that he was basically able to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep in a lot of ways, even that he didn't have a lot to work with, that he would have salvaged at least this year with this team. But I think that across the league, it's a different dynamic. If he's had long-term relationships over the course of his coaching career with a veteran coach, there's a chance he's coaching somewhere. But, man, after this season, whether it's a head coach or defensive coordinator, if you just take the head coach off of his title and say, based on what he's done with his defense this season, would he have a job next year?
No.
I don't think so.
But the last season was very similar to this season.
But he's got better talent this year.
He does, slightly. I mean, he's got a better corner. He's got a better safety. Other than that, it's relatively the same, but better
well,
across
got,
the board.
Well, you got a better corner and a better safety in the draft. You got
too.
Stevie Nelson.
That's fine.
You've got Jerry Hughes, who contributed early and doesn't look like he's completely over the hill.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry Hughes, I think, is a slightly positive
player.
Look,
I'm not trying to hang my hat on Jerry Hughes.
No, it's a better defense. Right. I'm not having that fight. 713-780-ESPN. Look, if Jonathan Gannon got the head coaching job, because he was my favorite. Kevin O'Connell was first. Jonathan Gannon was two. Josh McCown was three. If Gannon's the offense or the head coach of this team, Lovie Smith's probably not coaching in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jason, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? So about the whole Lovie Smith thing, I think he should be back. I think they'll bring him back, not just because of the whole, you know, media thing with Flores and, you know, the African-American coach thing, whatever. I think that with another year, I think Joe alluded to it earlier, with another year basically implementing what he sees on this defense and giving everybody like a calm sense of, I guess, togetherness, just his demeanor alone. I mean, because I can really see like a Tony Dungy, John Gruden situation, like Tampa Bay. You know, Tony Dungy really had him. He leaves, he goes to the coast, John Gruden comes in, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden they're a brand new team, and they just go out and they blow everybody away. But you got to remember the foundation, the core, started with Tony Dungy and the defense. So I think we can have another situation like that. I think he needs at least one more year to be honest. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Jason. Mm-hmm. See, that's the scenario where it's not okay if Lovie Smith is the head coach for one more year. Is if you draft the franchise quarterback, because now you're basically wasting a year for the franchise quarterback. You're stunting the growth for the franchise quarterback. And look, I understand the public pressure, all of that. It's going to be great. But sometimes you have to stand up for your organization and do what is in the best interest of your organization. If you draft insert rookie quarterback X, I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter for the sake of the conversation. It could be any of the ones that we've talked about, Levis, Young, Stroud, whoever. It does not matter. If you bring back Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton's your OC or whoever is your OC, you are now stunting the growth of that quarterback. You are setting your organization back 1 year. What is the greater good for the benefit long-term of the Houston Texans? Lovie Smith or whatever quarterback you're taking with the top three pick in the NFL? I would venture to say it's the quarterback that you're taking. So if it's the quarterback that you're taking, you got to be willing to stand toe-to-toe with the public pressure and say, I'm sorry, I understand where you're coming from, but we got to do what's in the best interest of our organization and the franchise quarterback that we just drafted.
Let me tell you something that's going to be unconventional, but it's a way, if you were just looking about from that scenario, if you're looking at the best move for developing your franchise quarterback, in my mind, it's Pep Hamilton as your quarterback's coach. But he can't be, right?
He's not going to take
a
demotion.
And he can't be, right? And he won't take a demotion. So here's how you do it. You hire an offensive-minded head coach that calls the plays, and Pep spends more time developing the quarterback than he's involved in the play calling.
Non-play calling OC.
And he can work with the quarterback more. Then maybe you get the best of both worlds.
But that's moving on from Lovie.
Yeah, that's
why I'm saying you have to move on from
Lovie.
And people
are
asking
the question, why is it not okay to move on from Lovie if he's worse than Culley? One, I don't think he's worse than Culley. But more importantly than that, I think you should know why it's not okay 2 years in a row to move on from an African-American head coach based on everything the league and the team has been through.
That's why I said all of the perception and the PR aside. Because, like, you got to be able to be willing to stand up to that, though. Like, if you think it's in the best interest of your organization to hire Eric Bieniemy as your head coach because he has experience working with Pat Mahomes and you want him to work with Will Levis or insert whatever rookie quarterback, you can't be scared of the public perception. You can't be scared of the backlash, because if you're scared of that backlash, you're not doing what's in the best interest of your organization.
We already know, though, that they spend way too much attention caring about what people think.
Probably. But that's not okay, though. Like, that's why you can have both of those conversations.
A lot of their decisions haven't been okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think there is one scenario where the Texans can draft a franchise quarterback and stick with Lovie Smith.
I have a scenario as well, but I'd like to hear yours.
It's that they think he's the guy. Like, we all go in.
They think that Lovie,
Lovie is the guy.
I think they've already told you that they don't feel that way, though. If they thought Lovie Smith was the guy, Lovie Smith would have been one of the six finalists for the head coaching position before a Brian Flores lawsuit and a Sunday supper that led to Lovie Smith getting the job. If they felt Lovie was the guy, he would have been on the finalist list.
I agree with your read on the situation, but I don't think that publicly they view that as their stance. I think publicly they view it as their stance that Lovie Smith is the guy. And Yeah, no, I don't think that that's real. I think everybody thinks that Lovie Smith is a short-term option. But if you hold on to Lovie Smith beyond this season and you draft a quarterback, I don't think you get to hire another coach. That's my stance. My stance is if you make the firing and hire a new coach this year, fine. If you stick with the coach with the franchise quarterback, he is your guy whether you like it or not.
See, we even had this conversation dating back quite a while to the fact that we didn't think that he was going to be in a position to select a third quarterback. I mean, a third general manager.
Right.
I'm sorry, a third head coach.
Yeah.
But then we looked at the length of his contract and said, and with Cal, there is an outside chance. But the fact that he lost a lot of credibility to do anything with the coaching position after what he did with Culley, the fact that you're saying 2 years in a row, he's got to say my bad. Yeah, I think that if that scenario plays out, yeah, whoever you hire is going to have to be the guy that's, or he's going to lose his job. Casario's going to lose his job.
The next head coach, quite frankly, the second head coach should have been who
no
Nick Casario was hitching his wagon to.
Yep.
Whoever he hired as his second head coach should have been his wagon hitcher. That if that coach gets fired, you're going out the door with him. But the unprecedented way that Lovie Smith became the head coach of the Houston Texans, I think bought Nick Casario another head coach. Because I don't think that Lovie Smith was going to be the head coach that Nick Casario wanted. And I think it's very obvious by the finalist list, the coaches that they interviewed, and the way that Lovie Smith became the head coach. So I do think that Nick Casario is going to get a third head coach. When does it take place? Look, y'all are probably right. It's probably not going to be next season. I don't think that's okay if you're drafting that franchise quarterback. I will paint one scenario where Lovie Smith could be the guy and you're not stunting the growth of one of the quarterbacks as well. And how about another alternative where Lovie Smith wouldn't be the head coach of the Houston Texans? I had something cross my mind last night, and I'd like to get your thoughts. Maybe I'm crazy. Who knows? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you don't think Lovie Smith is the guy, especially against the spread, why don't you take advantage of that at BetUS.com. They're back for their 28th year of NFL action, going on 3 decades, and they have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus. You got to take advantage of that. 200% sign-up bonus. BetUS will offer you the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. The NFL is always very fun. College football, Major League Baseball, playoffs start this week, NBA, and much, much more. And while you're sweating all of your sports bets, how about you take advantage of the casino games that BetUS offers? They offer hundreds of them, including the coolest European slots. They also have live dealers for those table games waiting for you. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets in your favorite parlays. Call today, 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives better bonuses than BETUS. Join now, mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BETUS.com and join today. That's BETUS, where the game begins.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. So most people assume Lovie is back next year. Is that okay? I would say that it's not okay, especially if you're going rookie quarterback. If Lovie shows you through the whole season what he has shown you through 4 games, they're winless. How can you bring back a winless coach that has the worst defense in the NFL as a defensive mind and you're going with a quarterback in the first round?
Let me try and play one extra wrinkle on you guys as to where it would be okay. Take the scenario where they don't like the quarterbacks early in the draft, mm-hmm. and they take Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And now you take Will Anderson and you pair him with a veteran defensive coordinator.
That's been bottom three of the league the last 2 years defensively.
Okay, but now you say that he's developing and Stingley's developing, and he's got extra weapons, and say Christian Harris the rest of the year shows that he is truly a guy that's going to be a piece too, and then say, hey, you've got a new season and a new year to show what you can do now that you do have the pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a lot better than if you draft a quarterback there. Like, you can live with it a little bit better. You're not investing a top two, top three pick on what you think is going to be your franchise quarterback. And if the franchise defensive end, then it's better to have that defensive coordinator as your head coach, it's still tough to justify if you win one, two games and you have a bottom three defense in the NFL. There's two things that I think that you could bring Lovie Smith back and have the franchise quarterback. One thing. How about you just, if you draft Will Levis, you just bring the offensive coordinator on back with you. He's been a former offensive coordinator in the NFL before. He was with Denver when Denver didn't really have a quarterback. Rich Scangarello, who's in his first season as the Kentucky OC. He was at San Francisco last year. So he's been around Shanahan, which I think a lot of people would love the idea if you've been around Shanahan. He was the QB coach there. He's had long years in the NFL. I think if you go that route, that's a way that you could still be developing your quarterback. You give him an offensive coordinator that he knows. You give him an offensive coordinator that's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL and has been in the NFL a very long time. Secondly, I thought about this yesterday. I was doing a podcast, like a J.J. Watt podcast Texans thing, and the thought just kind of came to me as we were talking. What if Lovie Smith retires? Like, is it completely out of the realm of possibility that Lovie Smith will just retire? He's 64. He's going to be 65 next year. We talked about it last segment that, look, if Jonathan Gannon was hired as the head coach of the Houston Texans, Lovie Smith, there's a good chance that he's out of football. Mm-hmm. Lovie Smith might have already been retired had the Texans not pulled this little, you know, out of left field, Lovie Smith is the head coach. Are we so sure that Lovie Smith couldn't be the one making the decision of saying, you know what, I've had enough, I've had a long, long time in football, I'm getting out?
Can I just very quickly say that would be so comical?
Why?
For a guy to take a job for 1 year and retire as a head coach?
Unconventional way that he took the job, though.
I'm just saying that's funny.
That and the fact that, let's also remember, guys, this is an organization that goes above and beyond to give guys that should have been out of the game extended paid leaves, basically, by making them vice presidents with big titles, lots of money, and little responsibility, i.e. Romeo Crennel. Like, they're going to take care of it, say, and it would be a solid for both sides. Lovie says, you know what, at my age, I forgot what the grind of every day as a head coach is like. I love this organization. I can't wait to see it succeed. I just don't think I could do it for another year. And they say, we're making Lovie vice president of football operations, blah, 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 and we're hiring someone.
I'm not even trying to say, like, it deserves criticism. I just think if that happened, it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a coach has been hired and then retired the following season in the last 40 years.
I can imagine his bank account, it would be pretty good if he did.
Yeah. I see, that's the other, like, part of this equation is the way that it all went down. Like, Lovie was not in the Texans' plans. If they were going to hire a defensive-minded coach, Lovie Smith was not going to be back. And then, all of a sudden, like, head coaches get paid pretty well. Hey, Lovie, how about, because I didn't even talk about it last year, how he really wasn't even that interested in being a head coach anymore. I think that might have happened.
I don't know if it did or not, but I mean, look, realistically, there's been so many BS excuses in sports across the board in the last several years that have just for some odd reason been okay and accepted, that I think that if he said, hey, man, you know, he knows the organization's going to pay him under the table. He's going to make his full salary.
They don't have to pay him under the table.
Well, but they can just say, hey, man, you know what? Because for aesthetics, the way it looks to the media, the fan base, and otherwise, hey, man, due to health concerns, I just don't think I can do this for another year. I forgot how taxing and draining it can be to be a head coach in this league. And I love the Texans for giving me this opportunity. I'm dedicated to them. We've talked about it. I'm going to stay somewhere in the organization. But in the best interest of my health and their football team, we'll move on. And everybody, you know what? The media, the fans would be like, okay, I can accept that.
Uh-huh. Look, last year when they hired Lovie Smith, their coaching search was a firestorm. It was being ridiculed. It was being thrown into the Brian Flores lawsuit. I think it's safe to say that's why Lovie Smith became the head coach of the Houston Texans. Hey, Lovie, we want you to be our head coach to put this fire out for us. You be our head coach for a year. We're going to pay you very good. You retire at the end of the season, and then Nick Caserio is going to get his last chance at a head coach. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Lovie Smith, who's going to be 65 years old next year, who as a defensive coordinator last year had a bottom three defense in the NFL and right now has a bottom four defense in the NFL, says, hey, how about we come together and make this decision very easily? Because you're right. The Texans firing Lovie Smith is going to come with a lot of backlash.
Yep.
If I'm an owner of a team, I'm going to deal with that backlash because it's in the best interest of my organization and I need to look out for the best interest of my organization. But there is something that you could do with Lovie Smith that makes that public relations, the PR, the backlash die down a little bit.
No doubt.
Lovey steps aside, retires, calls it a great career, and then maybe you give him the Romeo Crennel treatment on his way out.
No, I've been through enough of these in my career in a front office to realize there's a way around this without having to take that backlash, and you do it just the way I said you structure it, because you work it out, and look, no one's stupid at this point in their career and this point in the game. If you're going to pay me millions of dollars to walk, look, David Culley got paid, depending on which number you believe, he got paid a huge sum of money to just fade into the sunset after one season when this was his dream job that he thought he could never let go of because it took so long to get there. You don't think they could do it again? You don't think they could work out an amicable solution with lots of good finances to where Lovey goes, I can walk for that, and the organization can go, now we avoid the backlash, can get the guy we need for whatever reasons you see, and y'all move forward.
There's a 50-50 chance that if the Texans didn't hire Lovey Smith as their head coach, he's no longer in football already. Cal McNair has shown that he's willing to pay money for coaches to go away. He did it for David Culley, and there was rumors that that contract was like 4 years long, 5 years long, and he did it for Bill O'Brien. So money's never really been the issue for Cal. Cal's willing to do that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 0340 says, Texans are 17th in defense. What are you talking about? The Texans are 29th in defense. They have the fourth worst defense in the entire NFL. They're giving up 412 yards per game. The only defenses that are worse than the Texans and how the NFL ranks their defenses are the Detroit Lions, sorry, Brendan, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Baltimore Ravens. There's only five teams in the NFL that give up 400 yards or more. The other team would be Miami. But the Texans are not 17th in defense. The Texans are 29th. In defense. And last year, the Houston Texans in defense were even worse than that. They were 31st in front of only the New York Jets. 713-780-ESPN. 3691 proposes this. Lovey stays as head coach if his only focus is head coaching. Hire a new OC and DC.
I think that's best case scenario for worst case scenario. If the team and everything around it completely is imploding, but they're still obviously very concerned about public image and how they've handled the last several years or couple of years, that would be the ideal scenario. If you get a franchise quarterback, and like I said, you get an offensive coordinator with a really good, innovative offensive mind that starts working with him from day one, even if he's not the head coach. Defensively, look, you don't have your fastball anymore as a defensive coordinator. I already talked early in the season about him struggling between trying to call the plays on defense and focusing on the responsibilities of being a head coach. Then, aside from your son, go get you someone else to coach the defense that can help to coach up your young players while maintaining the veterans that have been contributing, and see if the defense gets better through whoever you bring in from the draft and free agency. You can survive for another year that way.
Yeah, see, you can live with that. The problem that I have with that is that nowadays in the NFL, there's very few head coaches that aren't calling plays. Most of them are offensive-minded head coaches too, by the way. Is that if you have a brilliant mind as your offensive coordinator, that guy is eventually going to leave, or you make him the head coach.
Right.
So after a year, if you're in that position,
well, then that's what I'm saying. It's a different discussion in a year's time when you can move on from Lovey, and that paints the other scenario I started this conversation with of saying, hey, look, you can hire your coach in waiting, make him your OC, and then make the change at the appropriate time.
I understand that, and that's fine. If I'm making that decision, I'm just going ahead and announcing the offensive coordinator as the head coach. I'm just not messing around with it. So there's not a chance that he leaves, because he could pick wherever he wants to go. If he's the best offensive coordinator in the NFL and then you want to make him the head coach, he might get paid somewhere else. He might get paid money by some other
organization. It's obviously a conversation you have prior to making a move like that, but it's also like Joe Espada coach in waiting, right? Where you can have a conversation, and here's the other thing that could be the key deciding factor. If he believes, like your franchise believes, that you have a franchise quarterback that could be a star, and other teams that want you don't, that's why you hang around.
Yeah. I mean, Espada, if he got offered a manager job, would have been gone, though. He wouldn't have been here if he got offered a manager job.
I don't know. I thought he would have had a pretty good chance. He had a pretty good chance at a couple jobs last year.
He interviewed, but he never got offered. He finished second.
One of them he pulled his name out of.
Yeah, but did he pull his name out of it because he didn't think he was going to get it?
Or did he pull his name out because they told him he's coaching waiting?
I think there's less than a 50% chance Espada is the manager of the Astros next year.
Okay. I think that's low.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jose Urquidy. What do we make of Jose Urquidy yesterday? Is he off the playoff roster? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you again about my good friends at Apollo Men's Health. I love these guys, starting with Dr. O and his staff, because they take care of me. They'll take care of you, too. They take care of ESPN listeners every single day because they heard me speaking about it. They went in and checked it out. They went on the website at ApolloMH.com, saw all the different services they offer, saw some things that actually could help them, signed up, got the results, and now they're talking too. You could be the next in line to do the exact same thing. Find your fastball again. Find that energy you thought was gone forever. If you're having problems from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, they're going to be able to help you. They're going to get you on a plan that gets you results. You feel like there's just no turning back to getting back to your heyday, and they're telling you, yeah, there is. And again, like I said, I encourage you, go to the website, apollomh.com, see all the services they offer. If you see something that you think could help you, set up an appointment. When you go in, be honest with them, open-minded, answer the tough questions, tell them what your goals are and what you're trying to achieve. They'll put you on a program that works. They believe in what they do for people on a daily basis, and they can help you too. Check them out right now. When you go to that website, set out that appointment, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted, and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot, or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. Then, like I said, have a good conversation with them. Tell them what you're trying to do. They'll put you on a plan that works. You're going to be happy too. Making a difference on a daily basis. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself with the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Spring Branch Tony wants to know, or actually he didn't want to know. He said, it's amazing how y'all make excuses for Nick, then expect these coaches to coach them. Spring Branch Tony. Look, I don't think that the coaches can win with this team. I don't think Lovie Smith is going to build a top 15 defense with this team. I don't think Pep Hamilton can have a top 15 offense with this team. I don't know how we make excuses for Nick, though.
I think you're a Casario fan, but I'm not sure what excuse you've made.
Right. I feel like we hold Nick Casario's feet to the fire pretty often.
Regularly.
More than others, I think.
I think you're right. And I think the one thing that I've said is, look, the one thing that I do believe in him in is talent evaluation in the draft, because so far he hasn't given me reason not to. I gave him credit for the Watson trade, but we fully exposed him for the trades that he has failed on and the players that have never even lasted for more than a week or less than that, and draft picks he's given away. So we've been honest across the board. I don't think we've given anybody like a bailout or a get out of jail free card.
No, I feel like we've evaluated Casario quite often. Like, I'm curious too, Spring Branch Tony. Maybe you can call. If you want to text, you can text 713-780-3776. Let us know what excuses we make for Nick Casario, because I'd like to know them. 713-780-3776.
And here's the thing, too. I'm not completely out on the coaching staff as of yet. You call what you see and what you've seen. I'm the one that's been giving somewhat of an excuse to Pep of saying that I don't know that he's going to call plays that show that he's opening up the playbook if he's opening it up for guys that can't execute the play so that he looks worse because they screw it up. And so I think Lovie Smith is head and shoulders better than David Culley, no matter what's happened to this point compared to a season ago.
Yeah, I hate that being the bar, though.
But I'm not saying it has to be the long-term bar, but I'm saying in terms of giving coaches credit, I believe Lovie's better than Culley. I like Lovie as a person. I believe that Lovie has a great defensive background and resume. I just haven't seen it in the first 4 weeks of the season enough to say that I'm going to give him full credit and like a ringing endorsement.
That's like saying Davis Mills is better than Tom Savage, though. Like, what does that really prove? Like, these guys should be compared relative to other people at their position across the NFL.
But we've even been fair on that.
That's why, I mean, I think it was the day after Lovie got hired. I was not high on the coaching staff, period. Like, we're settling for a coach who hasn't had a winning record in the NFL for a decade. Is coming off a year where they had the second worst off defense in the entire NFL, and then suddenly that guy's your head coach. Like, were there other variables that went into the equation of hiring Lovie? Yes, absolutely. I actually push back on the whole notion that the Texans were, like, forced to do that. Like, if the Texans being forced to do that, whether it was self-imposed or it was somebody else that imposed that, that to me is silly. Like, Jim Crane right now is potentially going to get rid of a GM and a manager maybe on the heels of winning a World Series. Why? Because he feels like it can make his team better long-term. Whereas the Texans are hiring, at best, a mediocre head coach. Why? Because of public pressure? Like, that tells me the Texans are soft, weak, and or aren't making the best decision to win football games.
But I don't think a lot of people would argue at that point.
Probably not.
I think their track record over the last recent history and their track record over the last couple of years will tell you that you're not going to get a lot of pushback on that.
Yeah.
Because they've
not
shown that.
Maybe not. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Speaking of the Houston Astros, we saw Jose Urquidy in relief yesterday. Just two games left in the regular season for the Houston Astros. Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez will get the starts for the Astros in their final two games. Good thing that the Phillies went ahead and locked up the wild card in the National League yesterday. Verlander tonight, Framber tomorrow. Jose Urquidy moved to the bullpen. They wanted to see what Jose Urquidy looked like in the bullpen, maybe even pitching for a spot on the ALDS roster last night. Not the best outing for Jose Urquidy. Gave up a couple of home runs over his two innings of work. In my opinion, Jose Urquidy not on the ALDS roster because of the appearance he had yesterday on top of the recent stretch he's on.
So I'm just going to ask some questions. Do you think that Will Smith is on the roster?
Yes.
Who has the better chance to get guys out right now, Jose Urquidy or Will Smith?
It might be Will Smith.
Might be, you said.
Yeah, I mean, Will Smith didn't give up two home runs in the game yesterday.
Well, he didn't, but he also hasn't exactly been locked down solid when he's come in and made appearances.
I don't want to count on either guy. I don't want to count
on
either guy.
But I'm trying to play devil's advocate to try and say, like, a Phil Maton. Phil Maton on or off the roster?
He's on. That to me is the question. You can look, it depends on if you think there's going to be 13 position players or 14 position players, because usually the norm is you keep 14 position players for a five-game series. I think that they're going to keep 13 and buck the trend because their pitching staff's so much better. Like, that's my thought. So if you do have 13 pitchers, you can pick two of Maton, Urquidy, and Will Smith. Mm-hmm. Now, if you keep 14 position players, you can only pick one of those guys.
Now, I'd also like you to take into consideration, Your Honor,
uh-huh,
the fact that this is the first time that Urquidy's had to come out of the bullpen.
Sure.
And so he's making that adjustment, too, in terms of his prep time and how long it takes him to get warm. Could he have not been fully stretched loose and everything like that? Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out there as factors.
Sure.
So that you probably want to see him again, and it's not really going to be possible unless you hope that Wednesday, tomorrow, he comes back again, or are you going to bring him back tonight?
Threw 44 pitches yesterday. That was his last outing in the regular season.
You're not going to see him again in the regular season. So now you got a really tough call to make. Can he continue to adjust and figure things out in terms of, can he be ready and get guys out? Or if I just throw that out the window and say, okay, who do you think gives you the best chance to get three guys out, because that's the minimum, mm-hmm, between those three guys if you have to pick two?
I'll go Maton.
Really?
I'll go Maton over those three. Yeah, Maton has a better ERA than Urquidy.
I'm going to go Will Smith because I think the variable that we're not considering here is,
well, if you're talking about three hitters, you better hope they're all lefties.
Right, but Dusty wants one lefty in his bullpen because, like, to your point of not maybe even using all the pitchers that you have, mm-hmm, he likes the security of having a lefty in the bullpen.
He does, and that's why I would go Will Smith over Urquidy. Like, if I'm power ranking those three, it's Maton, and then what I believe they would do is they would keep Smith over Urquidy. That's why Urquidy, to me, is the odd man out. Maton, look, the questions you brought up, like, you can't have sense of trust of Urquidy. Like, is he not being able to get loose in the pen because he's used to being a starter? Okay, well, he just gave up two runs in two innings, back-to-back homers. Like, you need him for the playoffs in his next outing.
Well, Maton, and I think the other thing is you don't need a long guy because Garcia is your long guy.
And you have Brown.
Yeah.
You have Hunter Brown. You have Luis Garcia. I don't think Jose Urquidy is going to be on the ALDS roster. Now, they might flip it, and he might be on the ALCS roster because you play in a seven-game series if you're lucky enough to get there. But how about that? I mean, a month ago, we were talking about Jose
Urquidy possibly being the third starter.
Being the third starter in the playoffs, and now I would put money on Jose Urquidy not making the ALDS roster.
It's legit to think that way because of the fact that he hasn't been great down the stretch, because you don't know what he can be in the bullpen. And because what he showed you in his most recent outing gives you the biggest level of concern that you've had all year with him, because he was used in a role that you would assume that they want to use him in the playoffs, and he gave up back-to-back bombs.
Yep. Somebody asked, what about Hunter Brown? Hunter Brown is in is on my playoff rotation. And again, it's going to come down to 12 pitchers, 13 pitchers.
Is your boy Jake
pitchers.
On it?
Jake Myers?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he's earned it now.
I think Jake Myers is going to be the 13th position player. I think they're going to keep 13 position players and 13 pitchers. If they keep 13 position players, I think Jake Myers will be the 13th. If they keep 13 pitchers, I think it's going to be Brown, Maton, Will Smith as your final three, and leave Urquidy off. Now, if they go 14 position players, you're either keeping a third catcher, which I doubt they do that because they currently don't have a third catcher. They might just go David Hensley as the 14th position player. And then you have to get rid of one more pitcher. Mm-hmm. So it'd be Urquidy. You'd have to pick two of Urquidy, Brown, Maton, Smith. That's why I think they're going to keep 13 pitchers.
I don't think there's any equation in which Hunter Brown's not on the playoff roster.
I don't either.
I think that it comes down to those three guys. And then I think you say that in the Janet Jackson philosophy of what have you done for me lately, as bad as Maton and as shaky as Maton and Smith have been, Urquidy gave up back-to-back bombs last night. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, you don't have like a little grace period of time to kind of get him comfortable like they did with Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely than not that Urquidy isn't on this playoff roster.
Yeah, it looks like he sealed his fate. 0830, who's the one position player most likely to not make the roster? If you think they're keeping 14 position players, the 14 position players that are currently on this team, Myers and Hensley are your last two. It means you wouldn't carry a third catcher. If you are carrying a third catcher, Hensley or Myers has to go. I think it'd be Hensley over Myers. I think Myers is going to be on the playoff roster.
Myers has been in the playoffs before. Yep. He has experience. And he proved to you, just like we said, prove Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown had to prove he can come out of the bullpen. Jake Myers this weekend proved he's comfortable in the outfield again, and he can play defense again, and he's quick, and he got two hits. Done.
Yep. I would answer the question of who's the one position player most likely to not make the playoff roster. Giner, who's currently not even on the roster.
He's on the taxi.
And then David Hensley would be the one that I would pick after that. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Let's ask one of the wheelhousemen. Who are the top two teams in the NFC? We'll get their thoughts. Power rank the Astros starting pitchers for the playoffs. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we're in the middle of hurricane season, and we know the weather can change in a heartbeat, and you got to be prepared for it. That means, do you know if your roof can withstand any kind of nasty weather? Is it prepared to save the contents of your house and your drywall and all the other things that mean so much to you? It's not just even about just the roof. If you don't know, I encourage you to call Fitz Roofing because they do what other companies won't do. They come to you and analyze the problem for free. They'll look for problems. They'll give you a complete overview. And they're not going to charge you a cent to come to your house and take a look. That's why you love them, because most companies charge $75 to $100 just to ring your doorbell and tell you that they're there. That they don't do that at Fitz. They believe in what they do and how they do it. So therefore, they come to you to do what they do, and it's absolutely free to get that free no obligation inspection. Call them today, 832-521-3001. They will inspect your roof. They will tell you from a leaky roof to a whole new roof as a possibility what you need and what you have currently for your house, your business, or your commercial property. And they use all the best warranties in the business. They have the best products in the business. They have the best ratings in the business. This is another reason why you feel comfortable and you can trust Fitz Roofing. Corey, not only the president of the company and the owner, but the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. Therefore, you can trust him too. Trust Fitz Roofing and make sure you call them and get that free no obligation inspection before it's too late. 832-521-3001 or fitzroofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Justin Verlander on the mound today. This is his song, Ace of Spades. Is he the ace of the American League? Is he the Cy Young? Does he put the stamp, the final touches, on the American League Cy Young tonight, Blankers?
Yeah, I think you said the odds earlier. I think, hands down, it's his to lose, and I don't think there's any way he can lose it. I don't know that they're going to let him go too deep and do too much damage anyway. I think the ERA is always an interesting thing, because I had told you that there was that stat where I think in the last, I forget how many decades, but a guy hasn't been able to keep the ERA for a full season under like 1.8 something. and he's close. And you know those things mean something to him. But I think they're going to manage it accordingly. He's not going to throw too many pitches. He's not going to go too deep in the game. Phillies do have something to play for, as they still have an outside chance to move up one spot.
If they lose, though. It's better for the Phillies if they lose.
Would you rather face
the Cards or the Mets?
With Scherzer and DeGrom.
Yeah, I know how you feel about that. Yep. It'd be better if they lose. Cody Stutes hanging out with us. What's going on, Cody? How you
Does
doing?
Does Pujols get to keep using his steroids in the playoffs?
Be careful. Hey, Cody Stutes is the one who said that. Let that be a matter of record that it was Cody Stutes.
That's true for the lawsuit possibilities.
Albert Pujols has sued radio hosts who have claimed that Albert Pujols
used PEDs.
Now, I want
to let the record show, too, that just inquisitive, because we were doing show prep, Cody, before the show.
Allegedly.
I just asked Jeremy, okay? I said, hey, randomly, because you're our numbers guy, have you seen Pujols' stats prior to the All-Star break and then after the All-Star break? And when he looked it up and the reaction he had on his face, I was like,
Yeah, I knew it was high. I didn't know it was that bad.
So, does Pujols get to allegedly keep using his alleged
in the
performance, whatever the performance-enhancing element of his game may be?
If I'm the
does he get to continue using that? Maybe it's loaded baseballs. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. Allegedly, maybe.
Not allegedly, baseball controls all of the baseballs
right.
since they bought Rawlings, so that's not out of the realm.
Right. I would guess that he does not, so I would probably want to play the Cardinals.
If I'm the opposing manager, I'm doing whatever I can to have a little testing done before the divisional series.
Yeah. Just show the test. Yeah. Show the test, Manfred.
You know when the manager, was it Billy Martin that came out and had him test George Brett's bat if he had too much punch? It was Billy Martin, right?
No, it was too high on the
bat.
Was
it Billy Martin, though?
Yeah, it was Billy Martin with George Brett.
Yeah. The opposing manager who's facing the Cardinals needs to channel their inner Billy Martin and do that with Pujols.
Yeah.
Have you seen
this documentary going on ESPN right now with the Yankees versus the Dodgers? No. I didn't realize Billy Martin was that big of an a-hole.
Is he?
Oh, my God. When they highlighted what he did to Reggie Jackson, and just out of spite a lot of it, and where he sat him and treated him and didn't put him in the lineup where he wouldn't bat him clean up just because. And they were like, they had all these ex-players and everybody going, Billy was pretty much an a-hole.
You think Reggie was completely innocent?
No, I don't.
Astros legend.
Reggie's ego is massive.
Yeah, Reggie was the straw that stirred the drink. I'm sure Billy Martin was playing a little bit of mind games there.
Is Reggie going to be the GM when they fire James Click? James Click go?
I'm all in on Sig.
When Reggie's participating in the doc, I believe he's wearing an Astros shirt.
That makes a lot of sense.
Really?
But he had like he had his endorsement for himself on his hat, which was sitting on his lap. But yeah, lately in all the interviews he does, he wears an Astros hat.
Yeah.
He endorses the brand. You want this guy to be
Absolutely.
The next GM?
There is smart, and then there's Sig. There's analytical, and then there's Sig. Sig Meidel needs to be the new general manager for the Astros. I don't care what the Astros do in the playoffs. They could win every single playoff game. Sig Meidel should be the Astros general manager.
He looks like if Daryl Morey and Dennis Lindsay had a child.
Sounds like a good GM, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Sounds like a good GM, doesn't it?
He want to leave the Orioles?
Yeah, to be the GM of the Astros where you won a World Series as opposed to being an assistant GM in Baltimore, absolutely you'd leave.
I'm fine with it.
And he used to work at NASA. He was a NASA engineer, so he probably liked it in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to get any credit for anything the Orioles do because he's the assistant.
You can make the case that he was a huge piece of the Jeff Luhnow era in Houston. I think that Jim Crane misses Jeff Luhnow. And because he misses Jeff Luhnow, Sig Meidel is going to be the new GM.
He might not miss Jeff Luhnow's ego and attitude, but he definitely misses the ability to get things done.
He's a sharp cat, the Sig Meidel. Sure. I'm all in for Sig. Astros starting pitchers for the playoffs. If you go four-man rotation, which probably the most likely scenario. Now, Verlander could be full rest game four, so you can kind of, gimmick it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say it's JV, Fromber, McCullers, Javier?
In that order?
No, not necessarily. Just those four.
Oh, yeah, no, it's those four, but I would do a different order.
What's your order?
My order is JV, Lance, Fromber, Javier. And here's why. Lance has the second best ERA of any pitcher ever to pitch at Minute Maid Park.
At home, yeah.
At home. He's got, I think he's a full ERA point lower at home this year than he is on the road. And then Fromber is 1.5 ERA points lower on the road than he is at home. And so I think you put the two best guys for at
home.
Good
logic. I like it.
Early. It also splits up the guys that are more likely to give you shorter outings in McCullers and Javier, because those two guys are the most likely guys to all of a sudden have 100 pitches in four innings.
Yeah.
You know, Like they're the two least economical with their pitch counts, so it splits them up. And 3, 4, and 5 are on back-to-back-to-back days, so you want to have those guys split up.
I like your thought process.
Day off after game two, too. So if like you need a taxing bullpen day game two, they have the day off and they can be ready to go again game three. I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that. The only – this is not really a pushback. This is just something to think about. If you do get to a game five – and you feel like you need to, you're going to have Verlander. So this really isn't a good point. But anyways.
If you're getting a game five, you're screwed anyway. Something's gone hurt terribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's playoffs. It's playoff baseball.
Anything can happen.
It's playoff baseball.
You would think that they should be able to do it. But if you play Toronto, that's a cocky young team who has talented pitching.
Who would you rather have on 3 days rest, Lance McCullers or Fromber?
I'm going to go Fromber because Lance on short rest has struggles with his curveball.
That's the only counterpoint, but you shouldn't. It shouldn't really come into the equation because Verlander, I think, would start a potential game five anyways, unless you're pushing him up for four.
I would. I'd rather have Fromber in the scenario that you presented. Yes, I don't think you should plan for that as much as plan for let's put our three best guys in the three best positions for them to succeed right away.
I completely agree.
And try to get this thing 3-0 and finish it up.
I think it's the smartest thing you've ever said. I like it.
But I also think that having a safety valve where you're four by a number only, but your stuff might equate the way he's pitching right now to possibly your number two with Javier is a huge bonus to have in the tank.
Yeah.
What's your confidence level? Because, like, you can set up the rotation however you want to set up the rotation, but your confidence level is a little bit different. Like, I went Verlander, Javier, McCullers, Fromber. I think you went Verlander,
Fromber
was
McCullers, and Javier.
What is your confidence level in order?
My confidence level is the order of which I would pitch them.
Okay, so you like McCullers more than Fromber.
I like McCullers more than Fromber right now, and I like Fromber more than Javier.
That's funny. We all had three different ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it kind of shows you how good the Astros pitching rotation is.
Well, and the reason why I said Fromber, because look, his last two outings haven't been stellar to where I feel really good about that, but I feel really good that in the playoffs, when the lights have been bright, the stage has been big, and he's on the road at Fenway, and he shuts down the Red Sox, I believe that gives you the ability to realize he needs larger underwear in the playoffs because he can do what he needs to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think we have it all figured out, underwear and all. Who are the top two teams in the NFC, you think?
The Eagles.
Really? You have the Eagles number one, huh?
Oh, yeah. They got a really nice defense. I like their offense.
Defense is legit.
I like their offense a lot. They got the rushing attack going this past week after having the passing attack going for the first few weeks. So the Eagles. It's not the Packers.
Okay. I had the Packers my number one because I believe in them.
It's not the it's definitely not this Packers team.
No, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Week 8, they'll be rolling.
I mean, they very well could be a 13-win Packers team, and the results will be similar to the previous years.
Ooh. You shut your poor mouth.
I'm sorry. That's what I see.
Right now. But the season is a long season. We don't start the playoffs tomorrow.
He didn't say right now. He said 13 wins and then go one and done in the playoffs. Right. He didn't say one and done, but he said be ousted soon.
Yep. And then I'll go Tampa. Look, Mahomes is going to light up a lot of good defenses.
Yeah, not the Colts.
So I'll go Tampa.
What do you, like, how much of a variable should it be that Tom Brady's potentially going through a divorce right now? Ruin Tiger.
I would think that it.
Tiger ruined himself.
I would think that it is probably a bit of weight off of his shoulders. Within the season.
Hot take.
And here's why I believe that, because he basically took a 11-day hiatus in training camp to try to go save his marriage.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have to worry about trying to save his marriage. He just lets the lawyers take care of it.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the emotional thing that's going to play with him, too. He seems like a very emotional guy in terms of his family.
Yeah, he does.
Sure.
Where that could play
I just wonder if the finality, the over part of it, is easier to stomach than the constant walking around on tippy toes, hoping that you don't mess something up.
It's a fair point because of the fact that I brought up that many people have documented they've been through something like this before where she's gone to a different residence. They've separated for a period of time, but they've always rectified it.
Yeah.
This time it looks like they're not gonna.
Also, this to me basically guarantees he's playing football next year too.
It's almost the reason he wasn't playing this year, right?
I have Tom Brady's next team top five list on the show today.
Oh, good. I can't wait for
that. He's got 375 on the table at Fox.
Whenever he wants to take now he doesn't have the old ball and chain breathing down his neck that he's playing football.
It might be better to wait a year. In this economy, what's coming up? What else on the wheelhouse?
Farrell Brown said he was going to be an all-pro. Now Farrell Brown's a free agent. Hey. What is something you thought you were going to be awesome at that you turned out to not be very awesome at?
He didn't say where he was going to be an all-pro. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Half of us will. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.